Appreciate being here this morning. Brother Tyler said, save the best for last. The only scripture I could think of was when it says the last to be first. Appreciate what he brought. And the first time that I ever stood at one of the association meetings, I come and preach behind Brother Sam Crumley, and I'm just as scared today as I was then. I just be honest with you. Brother Josh last year asked us, and he asked Brother Tyler, and he said, I was wanting to get a young man and an old man. I said, well, I don't know how much older Tyler is of me, but we'll have to ask him one day. But you don't never get over I tell people, I said, this is the most excitable, scared feeling you could ever have in your life. You get somebody to give you a call or they ask you, and there's just such an excitement that rises up in you that you can't explain it. And then the fear starts hitting in.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that he said that fear is the beginning of wisdom. And I've been there, Brother Tyler, about thought I had it figured out. I ain't saying I've always made it where I've always needed to, but I'll say this, I ain't been that far again, out. You know, sometimes the Lord gives you a message and it gets exciting, and you got it, and a week goes by and it just stirring. It's on your mind when you're at work, it's on your mind when you're at home. You just feel the Spirit bubbling up in you. You're just thanking God for it. Then you get so anxious that you just think that everybody else is just going to just have it the same way. Then you get up here and you try to put it out there, and it just don't go out the way that it went in. There was a time, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, because the Lord has blessed me. I'll just be honest with you. He has spoke to me. He's talked to me. He has spent time with me. That don't make me nothing no greater than anybody else, but he has. And them times that he's putting that in there and it's building up and you just rejoicing on the inside, and I'm going to tell you this, you're rejoicing on the inside because God has given you something. And then it comes out. And then it's just like flat lines. Brother Crawford, I think you heard me say it before, and I've told the Lord, I said, if you're going to do me that way, don't even give it to me. I mean, because you get excited, you build up, and then it feels like you just drop down. Well, it wasn't none of his fault, I'm going to tell you. But he'll cut you off if you want him to. He did. I didn't feel nothing on the inside for a while. There wasn't no joy. There wasn't no peace. There wasn't no rejoicing. Finally, I got to the point, I told the Lord, I said, if you just let me have that back, I don't care if I ever tell anybody. At least I know I'm feeling it anyway. And I know it ain't all about me. Last night, and I know I'm just talking, this was probably unusual for me to even talk this much, I reckon, but Rachel sent me this song. And you know, just because that a song has a name Jesus on it, or because it mentions something about the Bible, it don't make it a gospel song. But the world has got to a place that if I throw that in there, then it's okay. Now, y'all may hear this song later on, I don't know, and you may take it different than what I took it, but it says Bible verses, that's what it says. So, hey, that sounds pretty good. But in it, the guy starts singing, And he starts talking about conditions and wanting to get out. He said, but I don't want to read in the Bible and them apostles scolding me. Sometimes I just want to read it. He said, sometimes I want Bible verses, but then the next verse it says, or the next words he says this, but I don't want the Bible versus me. You see what I'm saying? When the Bible starts correcting you, people don't want it. But you know something? This was established way long before we even appeared on this earth. So if there's any versing, we're versing the Bible. Because it was already set. The right and the wrongs was already established before this earth was even made. And they was already things that was set forth because they was some versing going to go on. And that's where the message came in that there was a veil that was taken away. We don't have to be versus the Bible. People says, but I'm human. That's an excuse. I'm just going to tell you. Earlier this week, I was thinking about the word failure. That ain't the message I feel like I'm going to be preaching, but I was thinking about the word failure. We fail. But you know, failure is not really an option. Failure becomes a choice. Because has God not told each and everybody this is what it's going to take to succeed? And He's gave us a choice, has He not? So if success is in this line and failure is in this line, we choose failure. And each and every time that we go through life and our failures that we have, we start letting that weigh on us. But I'm glad that I've got a God that outweighs my failures. But that becomes a choice too. But we're just going to read some scripture. Just a verse or two to start with. We might go farther somewhere else on this. But sometimes, you know, like I said, God gives you a message. You get excited about it and you just can't wait to get there. This ain't one of them. I'll just be honest with you. Because every time I opened my Bible and I read, this is what I wanted to read. But it's just like there wasn't nothing else coming with it. So it ain't that I don't want to, I'm just going to tell you it like it. But it's one that we find ourselves that we're really going to have to rely on Him. So only thing I can tell you is this, is when I get it, you'll get it. And sometimes, Lord, does that keep me from messing it up, I'm just going to tell you. But I've learned one thing through life, and I've listened, took some advice from my elders, and I appreciate them. And I've said it to Earl before, I appreciate him, appreciate all of them, be honest with you, but there's some that just particularly stays with you to keep you where you need to be. Preached a message, and I think I mentioned it the other Sunday down at Hope, New Hope, when Brother Dwight was out there at Ridgeway. And God just poured it out on me. I'm just telling you, it ain't nothing that I deserve, but He poured it out that night on me. The church just kept dragging it out of me, Brother Crawford. I didn't even know I even had it in it. But at the end of it, Brother Earl stood up in a testimony and gave me some advice, and he said, I know that that's probably farther as you've ever been in your life. You'll never be satisfied till you get there again. But just because you don't get there, that don't mean you didn't accomplish what God wanted you to do. Amen. Amen. And my daddy gave me some advice one time on one that he said, that might have been the best I heard, but don't let it go to your head. It's easily done, is it not? But we're going to read this scripture, and I really don't know what we're going to go and do with it, but we're going to read in St. Matthew chapter 25. Verse very familiar scripture on this, but we're just going to read the 25th verse down to the 27th. And we know the story about the talents where the owner came and gave one 5, one 2, and he gave one 1. That's where we're going to read at. Verse 25, he comes, and he comes to the last one there, and the last one speaks to the Lord, and he says, "And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou that thou hast is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, for thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore take that," let me read that one again. "Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I shall have received mine own with usury." And that's what we feel like reading. We might read somewhere else in just a little bit, I don't know, but I ain't never really, I guess, preached too much on this. The word usury, even if I'm saying it wrong, you're just going to have to, because I'm like quite a few of them. My reading ain't all that well. But nevertheless, this is what the Lord give us. I was thinking about that last one that he came to and was speaking to him. And in that last part, when the master said, "I should have received mine own with usury." So just like the song that Brother Lamar just sang, that whatever I've got was the Lord's anyway. We want to talk about my salvation and our salvation. Well, I'm here to tell you it ain't our salvation. It's the Lord's salvation. And he's going to come back and he's looking for his salvation. But one thing about it, he's looking for it with some usury to it. You might want to understand what the usury is. That means it wants some good interest in it. He wants something other that when he gave you, that you went and you took it and multiplied with it. And it ain't mine to multiply, but it's his. And you might say, well, we say it's ours, but I'm going to tell you this. The scripture over in one place says, "I'm not my own. I have been bought with a price. So whatever I am, he's going to come and find, but he's wanting some usury out of me." People think that I'm saved and that's okay. That's good enough. Well, I'm going to tell you, it ain't good enough for the Lord. As of I could read in the scriptures that he's not saved anybody just to go back to the house and lock herself up in their room and wait for future happenings.
Amen.
He gave these men something other, all three of them. And one thing that he had for all three of them was a requirement to do something with what they had. Now, matter of fact, if I'm reading it right, Brother Lamar, he came up to the first two and looking for something other, and they had it. He didn't really come up to the last one. The last one came to him presenting it back to him. But he didn't do nothing with it. Now, I don't know nothing about all the talents. I ain't no talented man, but I know I've got a talent. Because he gave it to me. And one thing that it starts with is the faith that he issued unto us. And whenever he talks about that faith, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. The Word of God takes a hold of that faith. We read it in one of them books. It says faith taking hold of the Word, and it activates that faith. And that night when I came and I received him as my personal Savior, it got activated. And you know what? That still just wasn't good enough. He's still expecting something when I get up. Brother Steve, not at that time. He didn't expect me to know what I know today. But I think one of the writers says he began a work in me, and that's what he did that night. The same thing he did for the writer back then, he did for me, he did for you. He began a work in you. So what do you work for? You work to have something, an increase. So when he began a work, he's looking for an increase in our work that we have. Now, some people has took that talent of faith that he issued unto them. I'll be honest with you. I don't know, like I said. But the Bible says that that servant said that I buried it in the earth. There's a lot of faith buried in this earth that ain't being used. That ain't being used. But it ain't that I ain't got the capability to use it, because he's gave me things to help it out. And he's actually gave me instructions how to make it better. 2 Peter says this, whereby given unto it exceeding great and precious promises, that by these might be partakers of the divine nature, and have escaped the corruption. That's what he's done in me, that is in the world through the lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. In other words, get your faith out of the earth, put it to the usury, because he's coming and looking for something out of you. Out of us. People don't like this part. God has got a requirement. He does. The Bible says this. People think, well, I ain't going to read much, I ain't going to do much, because the Bible says too much given, much is required. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what, when Christ was given to me, there was much given to me. So you know what? There's a lot required of me. Yeah. And it ain't nothing about me. It's about him.
Amen.
The Bible says, does a man take a light, put it under a bushel? Does he hide it under a bed? Does he keep it out for so nobody can't see? No, he puts it out so people can see. Our desire should be to put that to usury that he's give us, that when we're out there, the Bible says that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
He said that the field is ripe and white and ready to harvest. In other words, we need to put something into usury for him. You might say, well, I don't know about that. He mentioned about the woman at the well. I believe she was in darkness when she came to the well. Her life was in a state that, I'm just going to say this, these days would probably be accepted so great, but back then it wasn't accepted. She was shunned. And I'm going to say this, rightfully so. You might not like it, but in the lifestyles that we live, the world, they shouldn't be praised. She wasn't looked upon good. But one day she came to the man, and that little thing on the inside that he issued everybody started feeling something. She didn't understand when she first got there. She might not have understood all of it when she left. But the only thing I know is this, she left with another talent. You might say salvation ain't come yet, but she left with hope. I'm going to tell you that. She left with hope of getting out of the lifestyle that she was in. And not only that, but she took it and she went back to the city and started telling everybody, look, I found a man down there that told me all things I've ever done.
Amen.
Come and see him. Shouldn't we be up telling people, let me tell you about a man. I'm putting it to usury. I know he requires something of me. He's looking for us to tell somebody about who he is.
Amen.
And to be able to do that, we got to live the life that he has required for us to live for it to do any good.
Amen.
Just because I mention the name Jesus, that don't make me going to heaven. Just because I say I know who He is, I ain't going to get into heaven. But I'm going to tell you, He's looking for a relationship. He's looking for fellowship out of you and me. And if we're going to have that, we got to get in this. We got to get on this. And if we do that, we can put something to the usury. And when He comes, we can present Him something other, and He can say, come on in. You good and faithful servant. You was faithful through the little things, but I'm going to give you some good things. Have you ever had anything good that didn't pertain to the Lord? I don't think we can have anything. I know we got good family. We got good times. We've had great times. But I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing that can compare to the Spirit. Amen. Paul got all the way down to the place where he said, all that I had, the Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day, this and that. Yes, I can boast about it. I can throw my chest at it. But I'm going to tell you what, there was a man one day that met me on the road to Damascus. He changed my direction. He changed my way of usury, because we get caught up in our mind sometimes that we think we're doing the right way. But I'm going to tell you, if we ever get to the heart of the matter and let the Lord do the directing, we can get greater usury out of what we think we can do. And it ain't in me. It's all in the name of Jesus. He's looking for the usury. He's looking for us to do something other with what He give us. Yes, I've said this. I said years past when I was growing up, had the Thurman High tires. We had them at Burgess's. We had them out going, Brother Lamar. And I said, hey, when God called me to preach, hey, that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, I couldn't mount up like that. I'm just going to tell you, I tried to push it. It don't work that way. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, Brother Johnny Beeson is one of my favorite people in the world. I love him all my heart. And I thank God for him, because the Lord says, see, I've even got Johnny Beesons that don't just do that all the time. So you know what? God didn't create a certain style that you got to do something in. But He did create it to do it the right way. And if you do it the way that He tells you to do it, it'll be the right way. And if we do it the right way, we get a whole lot better usury out of what He give us. It ain't just about good words. If it ain't anointed with the Spirit, it ain't no good. Yes, I've had some good instructions through life. I've had some good bosses through, hey, you need to do this, do that. And I ain't saying Spirit ain't involved in all that. But I'm going to tell you this, when it comes to the dealing with a man's soul, it takes the Spirit to speak into him, to bring him to the place that he can bring his talent and put it to the exchangers. Amen. That's what I had to do. I exchanged it that night. I had to come to a place to say it ain't my own. It didn't matter how good my grandparents was. Didn't matter how hard that preacher preached tonight. It come down to me. These was three individuals. And you know what? One wasn't inquired of the other one. Me and my wife's coming up on 34 years. Her salvation ain't required of me. Mine ain't of her. Now, we're there to help each other, and we can do each other good. We can do each other good. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not required for what God's give your talent to you for. Now, I'll say this. David wrote over there one time. He said, if my right hand forgets thee, Lord, and my cunning, just take it away. That ain't word for word, but remove it. We just look at, and I ain't got to get guitar playing, the piano playing, that's talented people. I ain't saying it ain't. But we got a whole lot of people that have spent a whole lot of time out in the world that'll tell you, I started off in church. Just imagine if God just cut all that talent off. What if we had that heart? What if we had that heart of David? Said, that's how I want to be, Lord. If I really get to a place, let it just quit speaking. Let it just lock up on me. But it's His usury. He is requiring something of us. He ain't out on the street corner just throwing out blessings everywhere. He's looking for the man that wants to spend time with him. Now, don't get me wrong. I spent some time in church sitting there and the service be going good. And I'm telling myself, hey, when I get home, it's going to be different this time. I'm going to get home. I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. All good intentions.
Yep.
All good intentions. But on the way home, you stop, get something to eat. You done ready to start to forget about it. You get home, you sit down there, rest a minute. Then it ain't even on your heart like what it was.
Amen.
So you know what? Good intentions don't get too far. But when you get that desire down in that soul, stirred with the Spirit, it really makes a difference. He didn't give us faith for no reason. He gave it to us because He's looking for some usury out of it. He's looking for some obedience. You know how that we got what He preached there away from. We didn't have to look through the veil and through the lattice anymore because of the usury. That's it. Brother Tyler, I appreciate it. I felt the same way before last year whenever Josh, me and Tyler talked back and forth a couple of times. He said, hey, I'm looking forward to it and I want to be part of it. He said, but I'm scared.
Yeah.
I said, I've been part of it a long time and I'm more scared than you are. I told Randy, same. He was the one helping us in that revival up at Ridgeway. That first night I preached, second night he did, and God gave me a message. Wrapped it up in a bow, put it in a box. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but he done already had her lined up. Next morning my wife was working, my kids was in school. I was laid off that week, so hey, man, Lord, we're at the house. When you stop listening to the Lord, the usury stops. The devil said, that message ain't going nowhere, and you know that. Matter of fact, he told me after you got through, he said, now how you going to top that? The Lord said, you don't have to worry about topping it. You ain't in no competition, no how. But on that one night, we got there, it was just all in me heart, it was just heavy hearted and stuff, and Randy looked over and he said, how you feel? I said, I'm quite nervous. And he said, well, that's good. As a matter of fact, I said, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I'm so nervous. But the Lord used me. If there first be a willing mind and a willing heart, you know the Lord can't use something that ain't willing. Now, I'll take this, and I have sat there and not be willing with something that He's told me to say or a song to sing. And then somebody stand up with that same testimony. And people just shout and testify, and I've had to sit there. I couldn't get nothing because I chose failure. It's what I chose. Now, sometimes He gives you another opportunity. Harmony Grove years ago, sitting there beside Brother Willard Poteet, Brother L.V. Summey on the end. And God, and y'all know I can't sing. That don't mean I don't try to sing every once in a while, but that ain't one of my talents, but every once in a while I don't mind it. But I sat in there in my heart just a beating, and the Lord's like, sing his song. And I was like, Lord, and I said, you know I can't. About 5 minutes went by, Willard Poteet pecked me on my leg, and he pointed over at LV, and LV leaned up. He said, son, you better sing that song. I said, okay. I said, when an 85-year-old man's led by the Lord and tells you to do something other, I said, and he's already been telling you to do it, you better get up and do it because I would have took twice a whooping. But just because it don't sound good, that don't mean you ain't usury.
Amen.
It's still about the Spirit. It's still... I've heard some good voices that didn't have nothing with it. Little old woman over Turnip Town walking up the aisle, they asked her to sing a song. And I sat there, Brother Lamar, and I've seen her walking up there, and I thought, we done already sung too much tonight as it is. Shame on me. I bet y'all ain't never thought that, have you? That old woman got up there. She got behind the pulpit. She lifted her voice up. she started singing, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear leaning on my ear. And I'm going to tell you, I was like, God forgive me. She was putting something to usury. And I was sitting there thinking, I ain't going to take it. But Lord gave it to me anyway. So just because you see me stand up here and I say, I've got a song to sing, just give me a minute. I'll be done. But the Lord wants us to put ours to usury. He ain't giving it to us to sit on it. These companies don't run just trying to get by. You know what they're trying to take care of? They're trying to take care of their investors. So to take care of the investors, we got to do what we need to do and do it right. Because if you do things right and it gets happens right, your profit is better. You've heard this before, and I'll sit down, I'll be done. Because I know me and Brother Rogers talked about this plenty of times where people say, practice makes perfect, and it don't. Perfect practice makes perfect. If you practice wrong, you're going to play wrong. Then if you play wrong, you ain't going to win. And you know what? They don't nobody wanting to watch a loser all the time. Brother Crafton said this, that Lamar asked him when he was younger one time, said, son, you been practicing preaching? He said, what do you mean practicing? He said, well, perfect practice makes perfect. I ain't going to ask you to raise his hands, but how many preachers actually preach to yourself a lot of times? I've had to say, oh, me, quite a bit. But there's a few times I got to say, amen. But the Lord's good. And he's coming back for what belongs to him that he gave us.
Amen.
And he's looking for an increase on it. Matter of fact, the word usury looks for a major increase is what it means. A major increase. Demanding increase. Not just if you want to do it. He didn't come and ask me, and I guarantee he didn't ask none of y'all, do y'all really want to preach? He said, here it is. You take it, you do it, because I'm going to come and get something out of it. And for him to have something out of it, we got to give it back to him.
Amen.
Brother Earl, that's what